You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Alert, I'm Nancy Grace. Breaking crime news now. Denari McCallman and parents arrive in Bahamas April 4 for a stay at the Atlantis Resort. That's on Paradise Island. That night, 9 p.m., he leaves dinner to get a jacket and walk around the resort. It's the last time his parents see him alive. Early the next morning, his body found on the shoreline, beaten.
Nancy, Denari was found dead less than 12 hours after arriving in the Bahamas. Resort staff first notified 23-year-old Denari's parents that he had not returned to his room around 10 p.m. that night. It was then that they realized the location sharing on the recording engineer's phone was not working properly. During a search of the property, police contacted the McAlmonts through the resort, claiming Denari had spat at someone. After an autopsy, officials claimed Denari died by drowning, but seeing pictures of the body, his mother believes he was attacked, saying his face was swollen and his hair was full of sand. Due to several clerical errors, Denari's body has not been released to his family, and they worry they are losing evidence.
McCallman's family hiring a lawyer to work with U.S. officials in the Bahamas. 23-year-old Fullington Frazier III is high on mushrooms as he drives his roommate to the store. He runs a red light, Milwaukee, Oregon, 60 mph, crashes into a Toyota, then a Subaru. Roommate, Mitchell Barr, 24, ejected and dies. Fleetwood Mosey, 37, driving the Subaru, also dead. Two people in the Prius injured. At the hospital, Frazier doesn't remember having a passenger. When told about his actions that led to the death of two people, he says, "Hey, are they okay?" In jail, his cellmate says he laughs about Barr's death. A jury finds him guilty of manslaughter and more. More crime and justice news after this.
How could a beautiful young first grade teacher be stabbed 20 times, including in the back, allegedly die of suicide? Yes, that was the medical examiner's official ruling. After a closed-door meeting, he first named it a homicide. Why? What happened to Ellen Greenberg? A huge American miscarriage of justice. For an in-depth look at the facts, see What Happened to Ellen on Amazon. All proceeds to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Now with the latest crime and justice breaking news, Crime Online's John Limley.
In Arizona, Lori Vallow Daybell is back in court, this time accused of conspiring to murder her estranged husband, Charles Vallow, in 2019. Her brother, Adam Cox, testified that he believes she was involved in the killing, which happened just before a planned family intervention to confront her increasingly extreme religious beliefs. He said Lori claimed her husband was possessed by a zombie and no longer human. Prosecutors say Vallow Daybell and her brother Alex Cox, who fatally shot Charles Vallow, plotted the murder to collect life insurance money and clear the way for her to marry Chad Daybell, an author of apocalyptic novels. Alex Cox died months later of natural causes, but his self-defense claim has since come under scrutiny. Lori Vallow Daybell, already convicted in Idaho for murdering her two youngest children, faces another life sentence if found guilty in Arizona. A second trial over alleged conspiracy to murder of relative's ex-husband is set for May. A former Colorado funeral homeowner has pleaded guilty to a disturbing case that has shaken public trust in the state's mortuary industry. As Crime Online's Sydney Sumner tells us, the case involving a body left in a hearse for over a year and mishandled cremated remains has prompted significant legislative reforms.
In Denver, 34-year-old Miles Harford, former owner of Apollo Funeral and Cremation Services in Littleton, pleaded guilty to one count of abuse of a corpse and one count of theft. This plea comes after authorities discovered the body of 63-year-old Christina Rosales, who died of Alzheimer's in August 2022, concealed under blankets in the back of an inoperable hearse at Harford's rental property. During the investigation, officials also found the cremated remains of at least 30 individuals hidden throughout the property, including in a crawl space. Some families had unknowingly received incorrect ashes, believing they were those of their loved ones. Harford faced multiple charges, including forgery and additional counts of corpse abuse. As part of the plea agreement, the remaining charges were dismissed, but he remains liable for restitution related to all allegations. This case is among several in Colorado that have exposed significant lapses in the state's funeral home regulations. In response, Governor Jared Polis signed two bills into law last year, mandating regular inspections and licensing requirements for funeral home operators to ensure proper handling of human remains.
Harford's sentencing is scheduled for June 9th.
Thanks, John. Two-year-old Tika Lewis plays a racing game in the arcade at a crowded Tacoma, Washington bowling alley. Her mom looks away to check on her other children, then Tika's gone. Witnesses report a white male with pock-marked skin following a child near the exit, then a maroon Pontiac Grand Am speeding away. A massive search finds nothing. Police link the case to other attempted abductions in the area with a similar suspect and M.O. Tika, 3 feet tall, 35 pounds, African-American, brown eyes, curly black hair with red and silver streaks, and a birthmark on her left buttock, wearing a green Tweety Bird shirt and had a clear purse full of Starburst candy. Tika would now be 28. If you have info, call 800-CALL-FBI or go to tips.fbi.gov. For the latest crime and justice news, go to crimeonline.com. And please join us for our daily podcast, Crime Stories. We do our best to find missing people, especially children, and solve unsolved homicides. With this crime alert, I'm Nancy Grace.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.